we're in Parshat Truma. This is a leap year, as you all know. Okay, so therefore it's Truma and then Tetzaveh and Kitisa and then Vayakel and Pekudeh. So we get to do the Mishkan in all its glory in an extensive form. Okay, which is Truma and Tetzaveh. It turns out we'll be okay. Vayakel Pekudeh, I have no promises. So maybe we'll, you know, it's just a repetition. So maybe we'll do the Megillah. I don't know. Okay, we'll see. Megillah Esther. Did we ever do Megillah Esther? We never did it? Oh, we should do Megillat Esther. Okay. Well, we'll think about it. Okay, today we're going to do the actual construction of the structure of the Mishkan itself. We're going to go through it. We're going to look at the pictures. I don't know if they have it in the art scroll. And then we're going to discuss some of the two beautiful Midrashim about one undiscussed and unknown element of the Mishkan, as we'll soon see, and what its source was, and what the various different rabbinic authorities derive from this seemingly insignificant piece of the Mishkan. So turn to Perek Kavvav, chapter 26, Pasuk Tetvav, 26:15. Okay, chapter 26, Perek Kavvav, Pasuk Tetvav. We're going to do the Krashim, Mishmar. Krashim. Perek Kavvav. And it's a little bit, it's pretty involved, so it's good we're going to have show and tell today. Okay. This book, I don't know, like, this is like the original, you know what I'm saying? Before they had, did you all have this when you grew up? I don't know, didn't they? Before they had, before they had printing, right? Before they had color printing,
exactly.
That this book is so old that they actually printed out the pictures and then glued them in.
That's cool.
Wow. This was a very, very
color.
What?
Expensive book.
It was a very, very expensive book.
It was like one
book
in the whole school.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It was really an expensive book. One second. I just want to get to, here we go. Okay. Because you see, like, they had bread, this like one color, like this not color, and then like one book somebody had somewhere. Okay, we're going to do the Krashim, these beams. So we'll see the Mishkan, as you see here, was made of planks, I guess you would call them, okay, that were then connected one to another, okay, and to form a solid structure. So
what material was it made from?
Wood, acacia wood. Let's see. Okay, let's read inside. V'asita et ha-krashim l'mishkan atzei shikim omdim. You shall make the krashim, the beams of the mishkan, atzei shikim, acacia wood, standing acacia wood.
Cedar wood?
What is it?
Acacia wood?
Is it acacia? Acacia wood. Acacia wood. Yeah.
Acacia
wood.
Acacia
wood. Okay. You want to sit over here or you want to bring one out? Okay. Acacia wood.
I have a fine
seat. Eser amot orecha karesh. So each karesh, each one was 10 amot. And ama is approximately half a meter. Okay. For those of you not from America, foot and a half. Okay. 18 inches. Okay. So 10 of those. 15 meters. Half a meter. Try again. 5 meters. So it doesn't seem right, though. 5 meters high. Doesn't seem right, does it? If the thing is 10 amot long, 10 amot. Oh, a meter and a half. No, 1 second.
7.
Okay, I had my coffee. Let's think again. Each one, an amma is a half a meter approximately.
Yeah.
So 10 amot is 5
meters. 5 meters.
Yeah. So 5 meters.
High.
Is
high.
Is this high? No.
No.
This is more.
This is 6.
This must be 6. This is 6 or 6.5 meters. So it's, right. It's
this whole.
It's not this high. It doesn't, it seems, unless the people were short.
Well, they were short. They were shorter than they are today.
Okay.
Okay.
5 meters?
Yeah.
What? This is 6?
3 meters and then 17 plus
16. Are you sure?
Thank you, Danielle.
You didn't show this house, did you? You forgot to mention it's impossible to cool in the summer.
Okay. And heat
in the winter. Right. Okay. Okay. This is 6, so 5. A little bit less. Okay? Each one, each beam is.
You said it was 10?
Not meters. Meters.
Ten
amo. 10 amo. Okay?
And this is how many amo? I want more.
No, this is 6. This is what we were saying 6 meters. This is 8. This is 12 amo.
So
right, for those of you listening at home, we're just looking at my house. So, you know, like, whatever. Okay, it's high. But not as high as it is. Does this seem right? The scale seems a little off to me.
Yeah.
The scale seems a little off. Okay, the guy.
1 to 5?
What?
It's about a 1 to 5 ratio. Seems about right.
Person was 2 amot high?
No.
2 amot is
4
feet, 3 feet high? No, no, no.
It was short then.
Okay. Ezer amot orech karesh. Each carriage was 10 amot long. Ve'ama ve'chatzi ama and 1.5 rocha ve'kerish ha'achad. It was 10 by 1.5. Okay, the width of each one was 1.5. Shtei yadot le'kerish ha'achad. Mishulavot isha el achota. Kein ta'aseh l'chol karshei ha'mishkan. So each beam had a yad. Mishulavot isha el achota. Okay, the tenons shall there be in each board, in each joined each one to another. Thus shall thou make a whatever. Okay, so you see the yad, it has a slot, kind of like, you know, your dining room table, like the things in your dining room table, so that each one fits one into the other.
Kind of reminds me of IKEA.
Like IKEA? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, right. Okay. Okay. That you do for all, every one of the beams of Mishkan. Yudchet. Ve'asita takrashim l'mishkan. Esrim keresh lifat negba teimana. Okay, so each on each side, negba and teimana. Negev is the south. Teimana is the...
east.
Negba is?
West.
West. Teimana is?
No, negba is south.
South. Teimana is?
Southward, east.
What does it say?
It says southward. For the south side, southward.
Southward. Okay.
Southward.
See what I know. I never get those right. So the length of each one is 20 kreshim. So 20 and each one is 1.5. So how long is the whole thing? 20 times 1.5. Everyone?
30.
Right. Yeah.
And
okay.
This is proof that you need to know math.
Yeah. No, this is not proof. This is easy. V'arba'im adnei kesef. Ta'aseh tachat esim makarish. So each keresh, if you'll see, has a, I don't know if it was round. This is an artist's rendition. They have no idea if it was round or not. It was a slot, probably. The slot went in. But each one also had 2 feet, okay? And each one of the feet, okay, had adnei kesef, adanim, tachat esim makarish. Shnei adanim. Adanim, how do they translate it? Braces or whatever they want to call them?
Sockets.
Okay? Shnei adanim tachat hakeresh ha'achad, l'shtei yedotav, shnei adanim tachat hakeresh ha'achad, l'shtei yedotav. So each socket was for each one of the yadayim, of the hands,
like
that
a
protruded.
Positive and a negative.
No, not a positive and negative. This is the bottom.
It's a slot.
What's the purpose of it?
It's square.
Because adanim were made of metal. The adanim were made of metal, and this is made of wood. So it was a base. It served as a base. You would put the...
Yeah, but why were there metal? Or these
no,
were
these were made of metal.
Okay.
No, but they were like bottom.
These are on the bottom, right? These are...
So
these
they're
are
not connecting to anything. Maybe
no, these are not connected to anything. These stay in the ground.
Yeah, so why
it's
are
a different material.
What do you mean?
It's metal.
You have a base.
No, but didn't you just call it a plank. Socket?
A socket is something you put something into, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Sockets. So there are base sockets.
This is the
bottom. This is on the bottom, and then you stick this. You put it on the ground. I guess they would like you know schlep it to wherever. Stick them all where they're supposed to be, and then you take the thing and stick it in the socket. Okay. There are 40 of those. Because why each one? There's 20 of these. There's 40 of those. Great. Uletzel haMishkan Hasheni Difat Safon Esrim Karesh. On the other side, there was also another 20. And they also had 40 sockets. Okay?
There was
so,
silver sockets.
Yeah, but they were made of metal.
They were
silver. Question, the Mishkan?
Yeah,
40
silver sockets.
Ah, right. Adonai Kesef. So then it's metal. Why? Why is that? Is that a lot to you?
No, it's...
Yeah,
silver. To,
right.
To make
you know what I always think? Somebody had to polish those things. You know?
Olivia,
what?
Also, I mean, they had copper.
It's copper more. They had copper. They had silver, copper, and gold. The mission
to
make those two things. I don't think it's because of that. I think it's because of, it's clearly because of the weight. The sockets, you can't just, yeah, you have to ground, you have to stabilize it. What?
A lot of silver.
They had plenty. Yeah. Okay. That's what they were told to collect. That's what they collected. Uliyarkite aman kabet. Uliyarkite hamishkan yama. Ta'aseh shishak krashim. Yama, tafona. Thank you. Okay, but whatever. I know, but it's... three sides. The long sides and then the west side. So it's that's shishak krashim, which is 6 times 1.5, 9. Okay?
Right?
There's that math again. Okay? So you have 20...
Nine.
But it's really not. So you guys remember, if you look at the Mishkan itself, right? 20 across.
Yeah.
But in each one is the width is half an amma. Or let's say it's about a half. So this is 20. Okay. And then I have 9 in the middle. And then half the width of each one.
Yeah.
So it's really, this is 30 amot. 30 amot and 10. Okay. 30, 30 and 10. Okay. Everybody with me? Or should I say it again? Each one is 1.5, but 20 times 1.5, okay, is 30. 20 times 1.5 is 30, so each one is 30 length. But then if I take this 9 and put it in between, right, so the width of each one of these is about a half, and I add 9 in the middle, so that then the width of that length of that side is 10.
Right.
You got to know this when you build the Mishkan, you know, these important things. Okay. The Torah felt the need to tell us. The Torah felt the need to tell us. I mean, you raise your question is like, who cares?
Not who cares.
Why do I need to know?
No, we're not
there's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot.
There's a lot of stuff in the Torah that we don't really need to know.
No. The technical. This.
The Torah doesn't waste words, so why give this much detail?
Correct. No, why give any detail?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to spend... I don't have an answer for that. We're going to... Like, you know, all the other mitzvot in the Torah, like, you could say that some we practice now, some are on this Ma'amid HaMikdash or whatever. This is something, like, you're pointing out, we're never going to build again. They built it once. So, the answer that rabbis would love to give you is there's deep, there's Kabbalah, there's message in every specific detail. I just can't tell you what they are. You know what I'm saying? I can tell you in broad sense, but why 20 times... Why 20, each one is 1.5, and each of these sockets, I mean, I'm interested in it, just because it's there, so I think it's worth studying.
Teaching us engineering?
Nah, I don't think so.
This is math.
What?
Just that again? That's why it's there, to say something.
To tell you that you have to learn math?
You have to learn math.
Really?
That's it for you? Either.
I think it could be also like...
The incredible detail, but then the repetition of the incredible detail.
We always say Mishkan is the tikkun for the Eid al-Adha.
Okay.
Right? So it could be that the reason it's there and the reason that it is such a like prominent place is more because our fulfillment of it is like rebuilding the relationship. Like this is all about relationship, about caring about the details that someone else asks you to do. Not doing it the way you want to do, but making sure that you're giving to the other party in the relationship exactly what they want or what they've asked for.
Mm-hmm.
So the detail in and of itself maybe isn't what's important, but the concept of like building physically as a metaphor for rebuilding this broken...
I'm going to take what you're saying even one step further. The problem of the Egel HaZahav was the idea, if we've learned the we've studied it before, one of the ideas of the Egel HaZahav was they did it in order to reach God. Meaning, but they did it in order to reach God in the way that they felt it was the appropriate way to reach God, instead of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, which is, don't make idols. You know what I'm saying? So along comes like, and this is a very, something that's a constant struggle. Like the halacha is so meticulous. And something that people struggle with, I think all of us struggle with at some point or another, is like, it's so, sometimes it can be so nitpicky and nuanced in its detail.
It's the .com story.
What? Yeah, the .com story. Right. Right, but the .com story makes sense because it's a system, and the system functioned in a certain way. Meaning, you don't know what the .com story is?
No.
Tell the .com story briefly.
Basically, someone sends an email to a rabbi saying, like, why do we have all these details? It's so annoying, and, don't we have to just be a good person and, follow the principles? And the rabbi responds to him, and the man gets... really, really angry. And he emails the rabbi again and says, I never got a response from you. I don't understand. Like, why aren't you, I turned to you, this really sincere question, you didn't even get back to me. And then the rabbi responds to him again and he says, well, actually, I did respond to you, But I forgot to put the dot in between Gmail and com. I just wrote Gmail com, and it didn't get to you. And why do we have to like be so nitpicky about putting in a little period? It's just a dot. Oh, but when you don't put that dot in, it doesn't get to its intended.
Okay, can I crash your story? Right. The problem with your story is, of course it makes sense, but that's only because somebody built a system specifically that would only work if you put the dot there.
Good. God built this system in a way that it works.
Wait. If I'm trying to reach God, right? Really? So I have to do, you know what I'm saying? The only way to reach God is if I... Well, that's not the same thing. What God says, if I'm doing it because... Thank you, okay.
There's some, like, poetic license.
You understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying.
It's a message.
I think the point is a...
But it's so meticulous. We read it, and you sit in shul, and it's like... Like really, you know, like litzela mishkanet, like you know what I'm saying?
That they did all the halach. Just say all the halachas of how to hold a lulav and etrog and what your lulav needs to look like.
Yeah.
Blah blah blah. But that's like you have to do it. So it's you have all these details so that you can do something. This you have all these details and we're not building it.
Well, no, the point, her point is that they were given specifically after they were given in a very meticulous detail, and instead of saying. And the point was to show them that you want to reach God, you reach God the way God tells you to reach Him, and not the way you think you should reach God. The same thing, Alach HaKam V'Kama, in your lulav, right? You do it, it's something I'm... That's exactly the point. You don't say, well, God told me to reach the lulav, so I'm going to take my lulav and make it out of whatever I want, because I feel much more connected to, you know, bird of paradise. So instead of taking a lulav, I'll take a bird of paradise and, you know, and...
Lemon, and
the mango that's in my backyard, and I feel so connected because it came from my backyard. You know, like, I'm sure you do. You might feel much more connected, but that's not what God wants. So I totally agree with the thing, but it's so detailed. Like, you know, like as we're sitting here, when you study it, you're like, really? What?
The question, didn't you speak last year about the question came...
We're going to get to that, where the question came from.
Right. Start with them and where they came from, there's a lot of significance there.
Absolutely. Yes, we're going to get there, but not all the question.
I just remember something.
Yes.
They slipped them from each rhyme or something.
Very good, very good. We're going to see a similar midrash today about a different piece.
That's as much as I remember.
That's very good.
Excellent.
That's really good. Okay.
I wasn't here that year.
Two of them you put in the mikutzaot, the edges, by yarkatayim. Now I just want to point out that if you notice, there's very much in the Mishkan, so much body imagery. Tremendous body imagery. If you notice, I'm just going to point a couple of them. Shtei yedotav. The adanim go into the yadayim, the yedotav. Isha el achota. Right, a woman to her sister. Now you hear it says, right? Bayar ketayim. What is it? Yerech?
Thigh.
The thigh, right? So it's like there's a in the text. What?
I'm thinking chicken.
In the text, the Mishkan is alive. The Mishkan is his body. The Mishkan is this thing that they're constructing. It says the tzela, right? The tzela haMishkan. We're going to see the tzela is the tzelaim are the ribs, right? It has.
It gives so much more, like, Vasuli Mikdash Meshachanti B'Tocham. It gives, like, such a support.
Yeah, it has a right. Okay. Vayu Shmona Krashim, Ba'ad Mehem Kesef, Shisha Asar Adanim, Shnei Adanim Tachat HaKer Echad, Shachat HaKer Adanim. So that's the edge, right? Okay? So that the short side, the west, I don't remember. Okay? Pasuk Chavav. Okay, so now we have essentially all these pieces together. Okay, we're going to see, 1 second. We have all these pieces, and we have the sockets, and we stick them together. The only problem is, like, this is not enough to keep them together. It's not enough to form a solid structure. If you ask me, interestingly, like, if you look back, to get this thing to stand, okay, I can understand why it stands up over here.
Yeah.
But how it stands over here... Like, you know, if you ever try to build a sukkah, that height, that weight, good luck,
And it's not in the... you can move it.
Right, but these silver metal sockets are at the bottom.
Right, but it's not inserted into the ground, so it's very...
unstable.
because the silver thing.
Well, it was a miracle. Was a miracle.
If it's all a miracle, then who needs any of this stuff? You know what I'm saying?
It's a lot of work taking that apart and putting it together.
But when I put it together, it's a miracle.
Right. Try slap the socket.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. Okay. What are we up to?
You said each one was 6 amot high?
Each one was 10 amot high.
No, each half.
Each piece was 10 amot by 1.5. 10 amot by 5 meters by half a meter.
Yeah.
5 meters by half a meter. Significant beam.
5 meters tall?
But yes. there were two of them, right? There was
no. 5 meters by half a meter. And the way he describes it here, let's say it's 5 meters, I'm sorry, by 1.5 meters.
Wow.
By there's a thickness to it. It had to be thick enough that you could have these sockets. This I think is a little thick.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, but
1.5 wide by 5 meters. You know what you think about? Think about, you know, those metal beams that they make, you know, huge buildings into?
Where are they now? What happened?
Must have been
wood. Wood? They're made of wood. They're probably not around anymore.
It's all
yeah.
in the Vatican.
What? Yeah.
In the basement.
I told you, I'm sure that one of these days, that when they do, like, the digging for, like, the foundation of the H building next door to the other building, you know, they'll find something. What? What's that?
Sorry. I'm just disappointed. They melted down.
What, the iron? You think not these things. You think they melted the iron down?
Totally.
No way.
Yeah. Way.
The caving?
Somewhere. I didn't need to try
it. It's the iron abrit was nignaz. It was hidden after the Bayit Rishon. Okay?
It could be hidden in lots of different ways.
It's in some kind of his house.
Why would you think it would be melted down? If you knew, if you were a Kohen and you knew that the Bayit was going to be conquered. And remember now, when we dig, we don't get, do you go back, by the way, to the Kotel? There's this new, they opened it finally, this new area, the back of the Kotel. Mm-hmm. You should go there. It's fascinating. Because they show you, like you can see, and I'm dying to get a tour. I think you have to get a Kotel tunnel tour, and then they'll take you to this place too. Okay? You can see there's periods of history, like literally one next to the other as they dug. And they'll show you like an Ottoman bakery, and like below there's like, you know, Roman, you know, street, and then below there's whatever, and then on all the way on the right side there's, you know, a street from Bayit HaRishon.
I don't know how they let anyone build anything in the old city, you know, like the antiquities department always like digs and checks what's below where you're building.
Right.
And then there's no way that
there's something everywhere. You should know that. I have this dream. You should just know. By the way, I know, like when I run around the fields, like in Beit Chilkiya. So before Pesach, I was running around right near.
There was a dig.
You see that? Do you all see that? Did I mention it?
Yeah, you mentioned.
Oh my God! It was like crazy. They were digging in order to lay the pipe for the irrigation. That's the word. Okay. And they discovered, like, a city. Really?
Village.
Whatever. At the intersection of the three and the entrance to Beit Chilkiya, literally. And then they dug, they did their research, they took some stuff out, and then they covered it back up.
Wow.
Why? Because you can't. Because if you have to leave everything, you could never build anywhere anything. You know,
when we were building our house, we got a thing from the antiquities department. Yeah, we had to stop up. We couldn't start our building. It took them 3 months. They did a dig on our land.
Everyone has to do.
No, every few meters, like every like a kilometer and a half or however it works, and they dig down.
Did they find anything?
No, they can't.
But Gan Eitel found a lot of stuff.
Oh, you should know. If you ever go to Gan Eitel, there's a god. There's an ancient god that they preserved.
Ancient what?
A god, like a crest. So this is Plishti area. This is really Plishti area. But I had this dream when I run, and I have this dream of doing this like web scavenger hunt. You know how they could do a scavenger of the old city? So just to like to tour, give people an idea of the richness of the history of Nachal Sorek. You know what I'm saying? There's so many things, and there's Gush Katif, and then the building of the state. Like even Yad Binyamin, I read this book about the guy who built, who's Yad Binyamin is named after. His name is Rabbi Binyamin Mintz. He was a Ger Chassid. This whole place was built by Haredi. Right? It's Poalei Agudat Yisrael. And like Chafetz Chaim originally was the first Haredi agricultural agricultural settlement. Right? And, like, you know, there's a lot of history here. Doesn't that sound like a cool film project? My son said, Masala said, you should do it, but nobody will come. Only the Americans will come.
Tourists.
Nobody, right?
Tourists.
No, but I think, what? There's such a rich history here. You know, and you would just drive from place to place. You would go to the Gak. You would go to B'nai Re'im. B'nai Re'im. Who's B'nai Re'im named after? Anybody know?
I was
going to say. The Ger Rebbe. Rav, something, something. B'nai Ayish for sure is.
Well, there's a whole thing in Rav Adim.
What?
Rav Adim has a whole thing over there. A historical site.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to go over there.
Yes, Chaim opened a small museum about, like, the
Mishnah Temple.
No. The Chafetz Chaim, about, because they had the first plowing the sheen on Shemitah, like they were really into these things. Really? I gotta go there. I have to go there. Have you been there?
No, I heard about it. They just opened it up.
So I digress. But would it be a cool web quest?
My whole family would come.
I mean, you do it on your own. Make a schedule? No, but I think would it be cool that you go and you like enter into the shul? Have you been into the new shul in Ganei Kal?
No.
You just have to walk in. Holy mackerel.
Did they model it on the previous one?
No, but it's like, it's gorgeous. I mean,
yeah,
really.
She would have told me.
What?
No, but they
have a normal women's section.
Yes. Beautiful natural light. Anyway, but we digress. Okay. The Mishkan is so enthralling.
You know,
okay.
A big Rebbe from the neighborhood who comes on vacation to Lake Philpia. He stays in.
I believe it. I mean,
there are a lot of
homicides that come to you.
That's the God. I mean, God, like all these Hasidim were coming for a brother. Yeah. And God, like, push Daniel through. It doesn't look like.
Do you got a bracha? Okay. Very nice. Asita, where I mean, Chavzayim. Brichim, Asish, Chavzayim. Chamisha brichim lekashay tzal ha-mishkan ha-shenit. Chamisha brichim lekashay tzal ha-mishkan ha-yar katayim yama. Yeah, whatever. I'm not sure what side we're on.
Westward.
We're on west. So, briach, five sockets for this, five sockets for that. Okay? Oh, one second. My bad. I'm totally off. Chavav. Vasita brichim atzei shitim. Chamisha lekarshei tzal ha-mishkan ha-echad. What is a briach? This is, by the way, what we were supposed to talk about. A bariach.
Bar.
Oh, I didn't say rab bariach. Very good. What is a bariach?
A bar.
A bar. Does it say bars?
Yeah, bars.
Okay. So now we come to the brachim. One second.
Yeah, it's this. Like a pole thing.
What, this here?
One second. There are brichim, are the beams. So you'll see in the Mishkan, each one had a socket. Okay, each one had a socket on the top and the bottom, a different socket. And the brichim were beams, long beams, that were inserted in order to stabilize the walls. Okay, so let's read it again, because I almost, like, I studied it, and knew what it was, and I forgot what, like, you know, the nuance. They say you will make brichim, beams made of atzei shitim, five for each side. Chavrayim, chamisha brichim lekashay tzela mishkan ha-sheni, and then five for the other side. Okay, so let's understand what's going on here. We put these together, you have five, each one was half. Okay, you have one briach here that goes four, and this, that went halfway through. You had another, so up to, you have ten krashim, ten beams, then you had another support beam on the top running through these sockets, halfway. Another one running through the sockets, halfway. Three.
Four.
Where's the fifth? The fifth one went all the way through.
Oh, in the middle.
Yes. Okay, so if you see this, I'm pointing out again. See the hole here?
Yeah.
This is all based on Rashi. This is the whole thing is based on Rashi. So that way, when you say Chamisha Brichim, each, there were one, two, three, four, five.
It's kind of miraculous when you think it's made out of wood, and if it rained and it didn't warp and it all fit back together. Like they could take it apart and put it back together.
Didn't rain. Never rained in the desert.
Okay, so the heat didn't warp it?
It's also out of wood?
It was very well treated before.
What?
Yeah,
how did you treat it?
How did you treat it? What did you treat it with?
Special oil.
No, keep going. What did you treat it with?
Magic fairy
dust. Read on. We're going to come back. Kavchet. V'habriach ha-tichon b'toch ha-krashim. Mavriach min hakatze el hakatze. Okay, the briach hatichon. the central Bariach. Okay, by the way, now do you know why they call it a Rab Bariach? Right, what's a Rab Bariach? Anybody know?
Mini bars.
No.
That's the doors.
The doors. The lock in the door. But why is it called the Rab Bariach?
Because it shoots out the bolts.
The bolts are inside, if you notice, in your doors.
It's Rab Bariach.
No, Rab Bariach it's called. If you look inside, the way the door is constructed, by the way, the irony is, of course, we have this really secure door on that side, and on that side, we got nothing. But okay. It's better for apartments in the cities. It's very like, Rab Bariach is like the brand of door that you have to buy, because inside the door are these bars that go through and come out. And lock on all sides. Okay, that's why it's called.
They just need a window.
That's why it's called the Rab Bariach. So this is Briach HaTichon. Mavriach min haKatzeh laKatzeh, from the edge to edge. Bet haKrashim tetzapeh zahav. So what are you treating them with?
Gold.
No, not fairy dust. Gold. Okay. Bet habotehem tetzapeh zahav. Batim labrichim. Betipita tabrichim zahav. Everything. You don't see any wood.
You paint it with gold.
Yeah, it's all gold plated.
So it's made of wood and covered in gold.
It's all made, right, it's all made from wood and covered in gold.
Okay. Destroy their retinas.
What's that?
You make sure they have reflection.
Yeah.
They won't get blinded by it.
That's the idea. It's a magnificent structure. Absolutely magnificent.
You know, except that it blinds you.
Oh, that's also covered with gold.
The whole thing covered with gold. Oh. Everything covered with gold. Okay. See the... I mean,
do they have this in the temple institute,
sweater,
like a model?
What?
In the temple institute.
Do they have the Mishkan, a model of the Mishkan?
I mean, like a model, like
of the Mishkan. I didn't see a model of the Mishkan. They do the Bayit.
But really. If it was all covered in gold, we don't have to worry about it deteriorating.
Right, it's all covered in gold. Okay, so let's go back. And then one second, one more pasuk, and then we're going to go. Vakimota pasuk lamed vakimota tamishkan kimishpato asher har eta bahar, and you shall erect the Mishkan Kim Mishpato according to its statutes that you saw on the mountain that you saw on Har Sinai. Okay, and this refers to the idea that you mentioned before of the Mishpat, the structure, the laws. Right? God said, this is how I want my Mishkan, this is how it's going to be. Okay, and there's definitely a strong reference to that. Let's go back to Pasuk Chavchet. V'habriach hatichon b'toch hakrashim mavriach min hakatze el hakatze. Mavriach is an interesting word. From the word bariach, it's a...
barred.
Bar, it will bar, right? It's a support beam, the briach hatichon, right? From katzeh el katzeh, from edge to edge. Okay, so the question we have is how long is this briach hatichon? So each one, how long are each one? How long is each one? So each one, this one is...
30
right, 30 amot. So each one of these ones are 15 amot.
Right.
Okay, so 15 and 15. So, but this one, this middle one, is 30 amot long.
30 plus, if it sticks out.
Right, 30 if it sticks out, whatever. 30 plus amot long, which is 15 meters. Okay, one, what? 30 divided by 2.
I can do that one.
Okay, that so obviously Chazal asked the fun question, which Nikki referred to before. Where do you get a 30 amot long beam?
You have to have a 30 amma long tree, at
wait,
least.
This is how many meters?
This is five, six. Six.
Okay, so it's three times. This is 6 meters, and it's a 30 meter?
Yes.
Wow. 30 amma for 30 five meters.
Wait, 30,
but does it say it was 1 meter?
Yeah. What? Acacia tree. Acacia wood. Because acacia trees are really, really tall.
Are they?
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Also, does the carriage...
Just understand, if you know anything about
why can't
wood...
Why can't the carriage be soldered together? It doesn't have to be from one...
Briach hatichon, mavriach min hakatzeh el hakatzeh.
That's fine, but it can be... That doesn't mean...
It's a single piece?
One piece.
Yeah. Well, it could be one piece, but it could be put together from smaller pieces.
Then it's not a briach hatichon.
Sure it is.
Let's think together now. What rabbis are going to do with this idea of the briach hatichon.
It's one piece.
Okay, it is, if you see it, if you look at it, it is unseen. Okay? It is the one thing that holds everything together. Everything else is a piece. These two sides are not connected to each other. Right? They're not connected one to another. The only thing that holds everything together, there's one thing, it's the Briach HaTichon. The main support beam.
And the bolts.
Right, the bolts hold each piece together. There's only one thing that connects everything.
But I thought there were holes there also.
What do you mean?
No, I don't other picture.
So each piece is connected to the other piece.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, each one does connect to the sockets. But what? There's no, only one thing that goes through all the pieces. That connects everything. Okay, that Briyah HaTichon. So now, of course, I'm going to go into the Midrashim. And we're going to get some fun, fun Midrashim.
That's an acacia tree.
Whoa.
Wow.
Really? Yeah. Good luck finding... Yeah. What?
Well,
30 amot?
It's like fairy dust.
Fairy dust. Where are you going to get that from? Okay. Says the Gemara, Tana, Benesa Ya'umid. Right? It was a miracle. Doesn't exist. There's no way. Okay. 1 second. Why? So the real question is... The miracle, what is a miracle? What's the big deal? So you get a long thing. So some parshanim explain that the Briyah HaTichon min hakatzeh el hakatzeh was not from this edge to that edge.
It was all the way around.
It was all the way around. The Briyah HaTichon went all the way around.
Turned corners.
What?
Turned corners.
Yes, it did. Right. You stuck it in. Keep going. But then how long would it have to be?
But that doesn't make any sense at all.
That's what's called a miracle. What? Nowadays, by the way, you could do it. No, not wood. It wouldn't be wood. What? No. But how would you stick it in?
Put it in. No, because you would put like one piece at a time and then...
Oh, and then turn it on the edge.
No, but it's white.
That's crazy. Anyway, I don't know. The implication was that it snaked up also when they wrote like
Journey song.
What?
Journey song is going through my head.
Also from Acacia Woman?
Yeah.
Wood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where did it come from? And this is obviously where the Midrashim, the idea of the Briyah HaTichon is significant, as I was saying. Because it, like, especially according to that Midrash, that it was Benes. You're getting there. Very good.
Yeah.
Close. That it was Benes, but also it unified, it served to solidify and unify the entire Mishkan. Right? The Mishkan is pieces. Everything is pieces. Everything is just like, it's like IKEA. Okay? And if you know anything about IKEA furniture, right, it isn't the most solid.
In 10 years it's
worth it. Right, especially we moved a number of times with our IKEA furniture.
It doesn't do well.
The reason it doesn't do well is because it's pieces. You know what I'm saying? It's Lego. You put together, if you make furniture out of Lego, it's not going to stay together. So the idea of the Briyah HaTichon unifying everything, obviously the Mashal and the Nimshal, like the Nimshal, if we're a disparate people, if we're a disparate nation, what does the Briyah HaTichon symbolize? It symbolizes the one thing that holds us all together. That unifies it. What?
That's
Torah.
Oh, very good. So where does it come from?
Doesn't it also symbolize the temporary nature of the Mishkan?
How would you... No, but what holds us together?
It's not permanent. It's not a permanent structure. It's supposed to last forever. Like the third base of Mikdash. It's just a temporary thing.
Ask me afterwards. I saw a nice word about that. Okay, but the Mishkan itself was never supposed to be temporary. The Mishkan itself was only supposed to get us to Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, and then we'll build the Beit HaMikdash. The Mishkan was always supposed to be like, you know, the traveling RV of God until we finally decided to build a permanent home. Anyway... So it says the Midrash. I'm going to read you two Midrashim. One that we have, one that you don't have, and one you might have. Amar Rav Levi, Habriyah HaTichon Shnayim U'Shloshim Amahayu. It was 32 Amot. It wasn't 70. It was 32. But even then, U'Mehechan Matzu Ota L'Sha'a. Where in the world where they get this Briyah HaTichon? Melamed Shayu Mitzunaim Imaem Mimot Yaakov Avinu. It was with them from the time of Yaakov Avinu. Okay?
There's the stick.
This 32 Amah stick. It's much more than that. Where does it come from? Okay?
So it was in the water and it grew with his bones?
What? Okay, 1 second.
Yeah,
I'm going to read you a different midrash, Bereshit Rabbah. Okay? Says the midrash, 1 second. Bereshit Rabbah. Dat Zakenim. Shabriah HaTichon, it wasn't from just from the time of Yaakov. Hayami maklo shel Yaakov Avinu. It was his stick. Which stick did Yaakov have? When did Yaakov have a stick?
Adam had a stick.
No, who did?
Moshe had a stick.
Okay.
Is that the same stick?
What is this for stick? Okay, because it says, as it says, ki b'makli avarti et hayarden hazeh. when Yaakov Avinu sent a message to Esav saying, I become such a great people, but you know, don't destroy me, don't smite me. Why? Because you know I come from nothing. When did Yaakov Avinu need a stick? When did he have a stick to carry? When he crossed the Jordan, which way?
Out of
Eretz Canaan. When he was running away from Esav, all he had with him was
a walking stick.
That's all he had with him.
Why did he need
that walking stick? Says the Midrash. Somehow became what?
It formed
a branch. Okay, one second. Okay.
And ergo, it grew to 32 elements.
That's right. What's that?
That's
one Midrash.
That's
one version of the Midrash. The second version of the Midrash I'll read you is from Yonatan ben Uziel. Yonatan ben Uziel on Chafver Chafvav. You don't have it. Does anybody have it? You have Yonatan ben Uziel? Chafche. Okay?
This is it from between the Esav and Yaakov.
No. This is Yaakov Avinu's stick. What is the root of the Bria Chaticha? One Midrash, the staff of Yaakov Avinu that he took with him as he ran away from Esav.
It makes no sense.
It makes beautiful sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Beautiful.
This is the split of the nation, and then Yaakov comes and unifies.
I understand, but from
children.
A nature point of view, it makes no sense.
It's a Midrash.
If he's going to walk with a stick, it's not going to be that tall, it's not going to be that big, and then, it just grows.
You're thinking too square.
Like,
open your mind. Open your mind. Free your mind. Okay?
Maybe he was tall.
Oh. 19 stories.
Chafche. I wish you could see this inside. Vinagra mitziata begolu chaya. The trick of Yonatan ben Uziel is it's in Aramaic. Okay. The nagra, nagar, from the word
carpenter.
So nagra, the beam, the middle beam, begolu chaya, in the middle, bego of the beams. Mishalbish min siyafe li siyafe. Okay? It connects from siyafe sifti, see? From piece to piece. Okay, end to end. Min ilana. It comes from the tree. Dinitziv Avram de Be'er Sheva.
Avram.
Very good. In Be'er Sheva. Vekad avru Yisrael Yat Yama. When the Jewish people passed through Yat Yama, the Yam, which Yam? Yam Suf. Kat'u mal achaya. Yat Ilana, okay. The angels cut down that tree, v'talkuhu liyama, okay, and they placed it in the yam. V'have tufei al anfei maya. It was over the anfei maya, the waves of the sea. V'have malchaya machriz, and the angels announced v'amar, and they said, Dein hu Ilana dinitziv Avraham bebe'er shava. This is the Ilan, the tree that Avraham Avinu planted in Be'er Sheva. V'tzalei taman. And he prayed there. B'shum meimar d'Hashem. V'nasboi b'nei Yisrael. The Jewish people took it. V'avdu minei nagra mitzia. And they made from it nagra mitzia. Right? The middle beam. Urke shivin amin. And its length was? 70. Meaning?
Went
all the way around. Okay. Uprishan mit abdin be dekar habi mekom en yad nishkaya habi mit galgel hai ke achna. Okay. And when they took it out, what? It wound itself up like a snake. Chazor chazor meligoy lelechuy mishkana. Dekar habi mit parik habi pashet hai ke chutra. When they stuck it out, when they extended it, it would extend like a stick. And when they would reel it in, it would reel in like a snake. Jesus. It's almost like, you know, those rulers that your kids get, those bracelets, you know what I'm saying? And then they're like rolls up.
Right.
Okay. It was 70 amot long, and when they would stick it in, it would, you know, snake in like, you know, like a plumber snake, and then it would become strong. And then they would take it out, it would roll it up like, and this was the tree of Avraham Avinu. Now, what do you do with that? Okay, what is the difference between, and this is the Rabbanim go on a Midrash party, because every rabbi is going to see it. No, not Moshe, not Moshe's stick. The staff of, the tree of Abraham Avinu,
and
the staff of Yaakov.
One's just a branch and one's a tree.
But either way, you need a staff. That's what this is. And this is the Bria HaTichon. That forms the solid base through which that unites all the Jewish people.
Well, then it's obviously
go.
Galos being in Israel and
I didn't see that. That's interesting. Okay. Wow, interesting. Okay. Let's start with Avram. Avram's easy.
Chesed.
Right.
Either a chesed that unites us all, or it's a combination of chesed and
okay, so this is from Rav Neria. Okay, he says the following: Ha'eshel Asher Nandita Be'er Sheva, the eshel that Abraham planted. Kol kulo mishani tiyato chesed l'sha'ah v'l'dorot haya. Right, it's the idea of chesed, right, for that moment and for generations. L'man Asher yitzaveh et banav et beito acharav v'shamru derech Hashem la'asot tzedaka u'mishpat. To do tzedaka u'mishpat. Ma'aseh chesed mitchabim u'mitachtim. Ben yachid rabim, ben adam lechevra. Right, chesed is it definitely does binds us all together. It is the foundation for society. Right, mutual kindness one to the other. And this is what Avraham Avinu wanted to teach to his children and his grandchildren. This is the foundation of all society. It's also the foundation of how Avraham brought people close to God. Actually, I just gave a Kiruv seminar to YU students, and they wanted me to speak about Tzohar. I said, you know who the best Baalei Kiruv are in the world? Anybody know? Best Chabad, by far. Anybody knows why?
They don't ask anything of you.
There's no
corners of
the
earth.
The story I like to say illustrate is I was in Connecticut and I met this family and I'm like, how did you get to Chabad? They're not firm at all. Whatever. It's like once my wife had to go to the hospital and Mendy, I think his name was. He's like, he saw that I was in trouble. He said, oh, bring your kids to my house. We'll take care of them. And they were there for a few nights and wow. You know, like it wasn't like a thing. It just wasn't, they didn't blink about it. It was just like obvious to bring your kids over. And these people were so blown over, like they're just friends for life. How religious they'll be, no idea. But Chabad, they understand that principal foundation, that pillar of connection to people is chesed. Right? When you do something for someone, you give to them, okay, it's something that brings back to you in spades.
We had chilani neighbors in Mosheim, and one day she was sick, and I bought her a meal, and it was like blew her mind.
Yeah,
and like I still see her like 10 years later, and she says, "Do you remember that
time?" I went to pay a shiva call recently for someone, and like I made a shiva call, and we were sitting and talking, and he says, "Remember the time my son was in the hospital?" He said, "And you came to visit me." You came to visit him. I was in Yerushalayim when we stopped to visit. He said, "I still remember that to this day." And I was like so blown away by that like so the things that
the
people,
things
yeah, like, and I thought to myself, like, it's just such nothing. It's so little. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always like, I used to be so much more. You know, like, there's a funeral. I don't know. I got work hours and such a pain. And like, but the things that mean something to people are these small things, like, you know what I'm saying? Here he is, his son was stuck in the hospital, and I happened to be with my son, and we stopped, and we hung out there for a while, and he never forget it, and he will never forget it. Every time he looks at me, that's what he sees, which is good because every people see other things. You know what I'm saying? you know what I mean? Like, just, it's so powerful, this idea that Avraham Avinu taught us that this is the thing that binds us together. Just doing those little things. You know, it's a beautiful idea. That's the Bria HaTichon. And obviously, it's also the Bria HaTichon. Where is the Bria HaTichon here? It's unseen. You don't see it.
It's the heart.
I like to think of it as fine.
Because you know, because you do chesed, it's no, but why is the actual thing unseen? You can see it.
No, the inside, the middle one. You see the 1, 2, 3, 4. You see the ones that aren't, the ones that connect to some degree, but you don't see, remember there's one in the middle here? Right? See this? It's hidden in the middle. It's a beautiful idea. Okay, that's what he says. And what is Yaakov Avinu? Okay, Makel zehaya ha'ed ha'yichidi lepticha ha'aguma shel derech ha'nidnudim v'lehemshech nitiv ha'yisurim shel Yaakov. He says the stick represents the yisurim, the suffering of Yaakov. Right? That when I ran away, all I had was this, you know, for shlugin a stick. Okay, and it represents the suffering of Yaakov.
In Galut.
What? In Galut, to one degree, but you know his difficulty. Okay, Makel. Okay, that's what he says.
He suffered in Israel.
Shnot Hashibud, Shnot Hagiulah. What?
He suffered in Israel a lot too.
He did. My point is this, by the way. My point is, like, the Avraham Avinu one is very fascinating. Because you can see Avraham planted it, but it's clear that Avraham planted the tree in order to bring people in order to give people a place for them to sit in the shade. Right? The other one, the stick of Yaakov Avinu, you can take any way you want. And so it's interesting. So Rav Neriya sees it as the suffering. And remember also, he was talking, he was giving these drashot.
Is it big? I'd call that the spine.
What?
I'd call that the spine.
It's very interesting. That's how he saw it.
I say Avraham with anyone with
that. And he says, it's, you know.
Avraham Avinu is the father of Amshrael. So, I mean, isn't that backbone as well?
Okay. Yeah. So it's actually fascinating. This dichotomy, which one do you see is the founding of the Jewish people? And we see this dichotomy also in this Lel HaSeder. Right, two people are considered the founder. Mitchila, right, of the Avodah Zarah. Avraham Avinu was the father of monotheism, and Yaakov Avinu was the father of the Jewish people. So you can see this also. Which is the foundation? Is it the stick of Avraham or is it the stick of Yaakov? Like, very fascinating, these two perspectives. So that's Rav Neriya. He says that the Avraham is Chesed and Yaakov Avinu is what?
Suffering.
Okay, you don't like that.
Why does suffering? I guess suffering does bring us together. When we suffer, we're more united. When we're under fire,
Yeah, but it's not an element that you want to.
Which part of the tree?
You want to? Is it accurate?
Yeah, they always say you're go in the, you know, God forbid, in Shoah, like you're goral and some totally secular Jews goral is exactly the same, right? And
correct.
To do with.
Correct. If you think about it that way, Rav Neriya specifically, he was the generation right after the establishment of the state. And he talks about the Shibud, like, you know, they took this stick with him, the stick of Yaakov, and what did it represent to them? Like, what, you know, what did the staff of, and when did he take it with him? And he's saying, he took it with him when he was kicked out, when he was, so it makes sense into
something.
Something
to lean on.
What?
Something to
lean on. When you are running away, when you're suffering. Okay? Where did Yaakov Avinu go? When he ran away from Yaakov. What?
To Lavan.
According to the Midrash, where did he go? Yeah, very good. Okay, says Rav Subratsky. I told Rina about this. Rav Subratsky is not in
Midrash.
Right. According to the Midrash, Yaakov Avinu spent 14 years preparing himself. Okay, so Rav Subratsky says, okay.
What's Yitzchak in here?
Yitzchak is not there. It's interesting. Yitzchak does not appear. Okay.
I think there's an understanding that Yitzchak is not what can create.
Okay.
Yitzchak doesn't create community. He's a lone soul, right? And his midot are not midot that the average person or the average chavra can exist on.
That's interesting. He still exists and he's still a model for us.
Okay. He says, Rav Zoreskin says, the thing that binds us together is our emunah, our sense of faith. Okay, that's the thing that connects us together. Since we're so separate. Gav bnei Yisrael ayu v'hayu idiot misugalot la'acheid chelek yadua l'miflaga l'chavra. Aval rak, one second. Okay. V'rak ha'nekuda ha'pinimi shel Am Yisrael. The essential nekuda, the point. Ha'emunah ha'toch tochit sh'b'lei v'yehudi. Right? The internal faith. He osed bnei Yisrael la'am echad. You could argue. But that's what he says. Ein umateinu uma ela b'torah ha'kedosha. Right, but our holiness is through the Torah. Rak habriach hatichon nibriach min hakatzeh el hakatzeh. So he felt that this emunah, this faith, is what brings the Jewish people together. The connection to the Torah. And that's the briach hatichon, is if you say it connects to the stick of Yaakov Avinu, you know, you're going to look in another way. The point, obviously,
you
is...
say both.
What? No, you can say anything you want.
The stick that Yaakov used came from the tree that Avraham Avinu planted.
But those are two separate midrashim. What? I guess you can do whatever you want. Open my mind. Right. You know what I'm saying? The idea being that...
Reminding ourselves where we come from. Meaning when Yaakov left, he took with the one thing that was a reminder of, you know, don't forget your roots. Don't forget what you came from.
Okay.
Where you came from. You know.
You'd have to say, though, that Yaakov Avinu fashioned his stick out of the Eshel Avraham. That's what you'd have to say. Makes you feel better? Either way.
Yeah.
But my point is interesting that the Midrash saw this, that there is a foundation, that there's something connecting us all. Right? Is it the suffering, but more is it, it's our connection to the Avot. Right? The things that they founded together, the ideals that they wanted us to be based upon. And that forms the unseen connection to the Jewish people. So through our nationality. It's interesting, like, we struggle a lot with this idea of Jewish identity. Especially, so here it's easy. I mean, easy because we're in the nation. Like, how do you teach, this is something I think about a lot, if you had to develop a curriculum for Jews in Chutz La'aretz, even religious Jews, and you wanted to give them a sensitive identity, like, the Torah is not doing it. Like, they're studying, that's not doing it either. They're studying. You have kids who study or are being taught, you know.
Peoplehood.
Education.
What is peoplehood?
Huh. So what is it?
The federations.
Right. Everybody's struggling with this. What do you teach? What could you possibly teach that connects everyone together, that makes a person say, feel like, I am connected. I'm bound together. Right? Is it the, maybe it's the chesed of Abraham. Or is it the staff of Yaakov? I mean, these are maybe the yesodot, the foundations that we bring both together. Like, the suffering, it's the faith, it's the chesed, and maybe we need all things together in order to bind us together as a people, and to make people feel like they're connected to something larger than themselves. But this is all hidden in the beauty of the Mishkan. Once you get into the details, and once you get there, you see that there's really such a beautiful wealth of ideology behind it. All right, we'll stop here.